Living in the rising sun, the land of bamboo, Tengu, and Gundam. Like, yo, can't believe I finally made it. Matsuri celebrated Golden Week, hold it down with my cho.
Yo, mi nasan, Manga Sensei Podcast de yokoso. Hey everybody, welcome to the Manga Sensei Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about something you're all probably familiar with if you're familiar with this podcast, and that is katakana. Recently, I was speaking with a Japanese professor at the University of Brigham Young, and the professor and I started talking about katakana and how some of the ways it is used vary from the ways that we think it should be used and how that fossilizes. And so today I kind of wanted to take a moment to talk about this a little bit more in depth in the podcast because it's mine. I can do whatever the hell I want. So, sorry, I think I'm hilarious. Usually when we identify words that are foreign words, we use them in katakana. That means examples like sandwich, sandoichi, or another example could be my name, John, would be how we put them in katakana. However, this is very interesting how these things fossilize. An example of this is my name. If I were to say my name in, put my name in katakana, how it is pronounced, I would put it as J. I would put it as J-O-H-N, right? So I would put it as how it's spelled. Shi with ten ten, jo, shio, and then I put the little O in it, so it becomes jo, and then I put the N sound, so it becomes John. However, that is not how my name sounds. I don't say, my name is Joan, my name is John. So I would probably put the A sound on it, so it becomes Jan. However, that is not how the Japanese put my name. My name, John, is already fossilized in the Japanese vernacular and alphabet, so that it always has the chitsai yo into the chitsai ya. And I think this is extremely interesting because of the fact that it's going off the spelling as opposed to going off of the sounds in of itself. So that's one way that we see katakana coming into the Japanese language. Another example of this is just the opposite, where the sound dictates how katakana is formed. Let me show you. My teacher, what we got us talking about on this was, she was in Japan a couple of years ago, and she kept hearing people say, dedi go, dedi go, dedi go, the sound de, di, go, and the long o on it. Now, she could not for the life of her figure out exactly what these words meant. Dedi go, what is dedi go? So she looked it up in the dictionary, she looked it up all over the place, and eventually she found out what dedi go means. Are you familiar with Dedi Go? Dedi Go was Let It Go from the song in Frozen by Disney. People were saying, ah, oh, Dedi Go, nah, Let It Go. They were pronouncing it close as they could to the sounds in the song as opposed to the spelling, which would be more like Detto Itto Go. That sounds a lot more harsh than Dedi Go. And so that in that came to the case of how it sounded as opposed to how it was spelled. And I think all this stuff is extremely fascinating. Another way they use katakana, however, is to add emphasis on words. If you've ever been texting with a Japanese person, you will know to be like baka or dame daro. And they'll say dame or baka, even though that's a native Japanese word, and they will put it in katakana to add emphasis because it stands out of the sentence being in that tertiary script. Other words of this include, like, you could say like orange would be orange, and now it's considered the letter. It's very interesting how katakana works. I think it's a lot of fun. You will make mistakes with it like I do all the time, but I think it's extremely important for us to understand exactly how katakana is structured and to make sure to look up the words, because you may not know them, even though you know the word in your native language. With that, I'll sign up. Till then, Josh. Gotta punch in, get to work, sumi masen, chotto mate, kudasai, nanpa shita koto nai kedo, anata mecha kawaii, antoni, astay facts,